You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. Whatever it is that you're doing at this very moment, listening to us, we appreciate you taking us along with you for this wild ride that is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're the Rain and Jays, all three of us today. Sam Jam Packard, Jay King, and me, John Corrales, here to talk about Marcus Smart and his potential trades, his contractual crap that's just been flying all over the place. What's going on with Greg Monroe? What's going on with Tyreke Evans, Lou Williams, injury stuff? We're going to do a boat for the first time in forever. We've kind of lapsed on the boat. It's been at the dock for a while, but we're going to fill that boat today. And we hope that you enjoyed enough to subscribe to our podcast, wherever it is you get your podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a good review, all of that stuff. Okay, gentlemen, Jay King, haven't had you on the show for a little bit.
We're tripodding tonight, baby.
We're tripodding.
Free bro couch.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get into this Marcus Smart thing, because there's been a ton of rumors. The latest thing is that Denver is calling Danny Ainge and offering Emmanuel Mudiay, and I don't know, if probably not a first, maybe a second, because that's the same offer that they apparently made to Memphis, Mudiay in a second for Tyreke Evans. Celtics are interested in Tyreke Evans, but they're listening to offers from Marcus Smart. How much do you make of all of this noise surrounding Marcus Smart?
I think it's real. I think the Celtics have to look into options to explore with Marcus Smart, because one, their finances are set to get crazy. Like, in a year and a half, Kyrie Irving is going to be making double his current contract. They're still going to have Gordon Hayward and Al Horford on huge max contracts. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum will be starting to approach their second deals. This roster is set to grow very expensive. And considering the circumstances, considering all the players, the other players they have, considering that Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier right now are in a place where they're probably never going to crack the starting lineup on this team, it would be tough to pay both of those guys beyond their rookie contracts. So, with Marcus Smart set to be a restricted free agent this summer, with Terry Rozier playing strong basketball in his first 3 starts of his career, you have to, I think, look into what you could get from Marcus Smart, especially considering the fact that some of the top guys out there on the trade market are Tyreke Evans, are Lou Williams, are guards that could potentially fill Marcus Smart's role on the Celtics and do things very differently than Marcus Smart, but come to the Celtics and not impact their future finances as much. So I think it's wise for the Celtics to look into trading Marcus Smart. I don't think they're necessarily going to find a smart Marcus Smart trade that makes sense. So I still expect him to be with the Celtics after the deadline, despite all the noise that's surrounding him lately.
There's no need to trade Marcus Smart. Like, he's a very competent basketball player. And we talk about all the time, impacts winning. All the mentions you reasoned about, like, the salary cap makes sense, is why you would look into it. But I agree with you. There's just, it doesn't make sense for the Celtics to like force the issue and even approach giving up a first round pick for someone who's just going to be a rental. Marcus, like, you can just have Marcus Smart on your team, and then the Celtics have the decision of like whether or not they want to match his offer in restricted free agency. I don't know if there's a real market for Marcus Smart out there. I don't know if he's going to demand a giant contract. It could just be an opportunity to get him on a team-friendly contract. All he knows is Brad Stevens. Maybe he's just wants to come back and play for Papa Bear. Who knows? It's just, I don't see any reason why. I don't think of Tyreke Evans and Lou Williams as that much of a huge upgrade. They would add scoring, but they just added Greg Monroe, who could be the scoring threat that you need. I think that if you're going to make a move for a guy like Tyreke Evans or Lou Williams, just a rental, that's like a move to trying to win the finals. And the finals are against the Warriors, and I feel like Marcus Smart would be like a pretty useful player against the Warriors. If you're going to play the Warriors, you're going to win. It's going to be a rock fight. And who do you want in a fight more than Marcus Smart? He showed his punching ability quite recently.
Yeah, I think the if you're going to add,
was nicely done, Sam.
Thank you.
If you're going to add Tyreke Evans, I don't think you add Tyreke Evans at the expense of a rotation player, because then you're just swapping out rotation players. That doesn't fill a need. We're talking about filling needs and getting the Celtics help. Getting the Celtics help by swapping Marcus Smart for Lou Williams or Tyreke Evans, that doesn't do anything. That just changes the guy that's in the rotation. That we're talking about helping the Celtics. You want to add those guys for end of the bench plus a pick type of trades. That's if you're trying to help a team and bolster its rotation, why would you trade away a player that's very instrumental in making those winning plays? So you look at Memphis's situation or Denver's situation, especially Memphis, when they're trying to clear away cap and they're clearly going towards the rebuild mode. That's where guys like Abdel Nader and maybe, I don't know, some other combination of those end of the bench guys, the non-guaranteed, you know, not Yabusele.
Even Yabu, as hard as it is to say, even Yabu could be traded.
I guess, yes, even Yabusele could be traded. But those guys who are, I know I don't want to get rid of the Yabu bow and arrow dab, but it's there. It's possible. But those guys, Nader has a non-guaranteed contract for next year. He could easily be cut, and Memphis can save whatever money they want to save. They'll get rid of the player, and they'll take a pick. Now, the question about what the Celtics are willing to give up to get one of those guys is, what kind of pick are they going to give up? They're certainly not going to give up a first rounder, except, asterisk, are you willing to give up the Clippers pick? Is that worth anything? Do we think that pick, because the protections on that pick are top 14 protected for the next 2 years, and then if it doesn't convey, it becomes a 2022 second-round pick. One second-round pick in 3 years. So that could be almost a throwaway pick, but everybody knows it's a throwaway pick, and it almost seems worthless. But is that something you're willing to give up? Will that get the job done?
Well, you can call it a first-rounder. That's the thing. It's going to be a shitty pick, but you can say you threw in a first-round pick. So, why not?
It may not be a shitty pick. What if the Clippers don't intend to bottom out? What if they go after somebody and that pick is not in the lottery and it does turn into a first-round pick and it's a pretty good pick?
Right. I mean, that's the risk you run, right?
I'm not ready to write off that Clippers pick as, like, totally worthless yet. Like, that team still has some solid pieces on it right now. It's not like a worthless team yet. Maybe they intend to become a worthless team. Maybe they intend to make moves to solidify that roster. I don't know. I think you need to find out more about the Clippers' strategy first before
it's
like a throwaway pick.
It's like a mid-round pick, even like at its best. Like, awesome, you get like a late teens or like early 20s pick. Like, it's, you have plenty of those coming up. Like, it feels like it's real hit or miss. I know you like want more swings at the bat, but for something that has a high likelihood of turning into a second rounder for a rental, I would say why not? Like, it makes sense to me. I understand the caution but it's still like, that's not the truest of value, just because you have no fucking idea what's going to happen after probably like pick 5. Anything could happen.
Hey, Terry Rozier was a 16th overall pick. And he's untouchable.
You could get Terry Rozier, or you could get whoever else is like has been drafted at 16 at the past like 5 years. It's just it's a real crapshoot.
It is a crapshoot. And the question here and all of these moves is there are people who think, well, you give it up because what are the odds, right? What are the odds that you get somebody good? At best, you might get somebody that surprises you. Maybe you get a Terry Rozier who, after a few years, 3 or 4 years, he turns into a borderline starter quality player. Okay, that's fine. So you kind of give that up because you think, it's not going to be that great anyway. Or you are of the opinion that you just keep making those draft picks, and what's the worst case scenario? It doesn't work out, but at least you had another plate appearance. You have another guy that could be the guy who works out. And so what? So maybe he becomes RJ Hunter, you know, which pains me, but maybe he becomes RJ Hunter and you cut him. And yeah, it's a mid round.
Are you still convinced RJ Hunter will be a solid NBA player?
No, I just have.
Oh, wow.
He's been bouncing around the G League. He's had himself a day. He was with the Vipers, RGV Vipers.
He's done all right in the G League. I still have that little spot in my heart where I just keep thinking maybe RJ Hunter can figure it out. Yeah, but
maybe he can. It's all about situation. Maybe he finds the right coach. He finds like the right situation. Although
he couldn't make it work with Brad Stevens.
If Brad Stevens is going to make it work, I don't know what's going to happen.
Right, exactly.
So, I feel like I've been completely mindwashed since I sat down with Brad Stevens and talked about like coaching philosophy. I'm just like completely, not that I wasn't bought in before, but now I'm just like fully in the cult of Brad Stevens. He can tell me to do anything.
Yeah.
Kaizen.
Kaizen, absolutely. Continual progress. As long as he convinced me that it was Kaizen moving towards something better, I'd do anything he told me to do.
You are completely swept up. You are just lost in his eyes.
Yeah, once you talk to the preacher of the cult I just joined, you'll can be convinced too.
So that's where we are with the acquisition of the it's I'm not 100% sure that the Celtics are going to give up anything beyond a second round pick, and even those second round picks, I don't know if the Celtics are entirely thrilled to be giving that up, but. When you're in this position, the East seems pretty wide open. Cleveland's a disaster at the moment. So you get Greg Monroe. You have an opportunity to get a Tyreek or Lou Will, and the reporting seems to be that they like Tyreek better. Whichever, either way, it'll be helpful if you add those guys, like I said, in addition to the current rotation guys, because you're bolstering your bench. Then the Celtics have something there, but I guess at that point, the Celtics would be willing to give up something. You got to give up.
Where would the
something.
Minutes come from, though? They just added a guy who's like that piece in Greg Monroe. I don't even know who's like minutes he's going to take. Well, I just don't think they have enough ball like to go around.
What ends
they can't
up
add Greg Monroe and then another guard on top of that.
Well, you're looking at Daniel Tice not getting minutes. And
I'm not willing to do. I'm not willing to go there. I think Daniel Tice has been a great energy off the bench, and I think he needs more minutes, not less. Well, I would start Tice over Baines.
Well, one of those guys is going to lose minutes. Semi Ojeleye is a guy that would lose minutes. Shane Larkin is a guy that would lose minutes. I mean, those guys at the end, and look, those guys, maybe not Larkin, but Ojeleye down the road can be a very good player for the Celtics, and they've got him basically under their control for 4 years. They've got two non-guaranteed years after this one and a team option. All for less than the most he's going to make is $1.7 million. So they're not going to give up on Ojeleye. But right now, they're going to say, if they get Tyreek and Monroe, then guys like Ojeleye say, all right, now you get your DNPs. Now you go down to the G League and get your burn there. And you're a break glass in case of emergency, in case there's some sort of injury. That's not so bad. At the end of the season, you make your playoff run with the better players. And then I don't know who's going to be able to stick around next year. Tyreek would be a rental for sure. Monroe, it's going to be a little bit more interesting depending on what he signs for, how much of the disabled player exemption he signs for. But it's all a big dance. And some of these guys are just going to have to lose minutes in the short term. But that's just the price you pay. All right.
I was expecting Jay King to say something there, and he didn't step up.
I am deeply sorry. The tripod can get tough sometimes. You don't know when it's your turn. You don't know when it's somebody else's turn.
It really felt like your turn there, Jay. I feel like you just missed the entire signal.
If you were a mental alpha, you would have stepped up in that moment.
Okay. I think the summary here is don't expect the Celtics to make huge moves at the deadline. And granted, we've probably said this before, and the Celtics have proceeded to make huge fucking moves. but I don't think I think Marcus Smart is probably the most likely of the core, I would say, pieces to go. I think that's the term Adrian Wojnarowski used, and I like that. Because of the finances, because of the fact that they can kind of replace what he does, his defense, because they have so many other defenders on the roster.
Because they got sweet Semi Ojeleye.
Because they have sweet Semi Ojeleye. Because the one weakness on their roster is really scoring and shooting. And Marcus doesn't really provide much of that. So I could see them moving Smart. I just don't think that they're going to do anything big at the deadline. I think, honestly, the Warriors, I think the Warriors still loom out there as like this huge freaking deal that the Celtics are not necessarily afraid of pushing all their chips to the middle, but they're very cognizant of the fact that short-term rentals and short-term improvements may not amount to anything against the best teams. And the best teams being the Rockets, the Warriors, maybe the Cavaliers, if they can find whatever other level they may have under all the mess that they've got going on right now. So I think they're very aware of the fact that short-term rentals, even though they might address needs you have right now, aren't going to move the needle too much in the biggest series. And those are what really matter to the Celtics. And it's not about maximizing your chances to win this year, because I don't think anyone is under the impression that they have a great chance or even a decent chance to win this year, the whole thing.
But what about the future, they just added Greg Monroe, so I don't know about that.
Okay, fine. Now they're the title favorites because they have Greg Monroe.
I was just trying to transition to talking about Greg Monroe, because I don't think we've talked about it since they signed him. But are they just going to wait till the trade deadline to sign him? Is he not going to play against Toronto?
We'll see. It's only a few days until the trade deadline. So
it's a game against Toronto that they could use him in.
And a game against Washington after that they could use him in. Although I guess that would be after the trade deadline, very briefly. So he'd have to sign the papers real quick right before shoot around.
He's already signed the papers. They just have to file it with the league office.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. Obviously, you'd like to have him in Toronto. You'd like to have that extra piece, but the Celtics, they're not going to lose their minds about a game in January. If they can have a little more flexibility, they're more about the flexibility than about let's maximize our chances of winning this February 7th game or February 6th game or whatever it is.
Kaizen, I know. Okay, Kaizen.
Kaizen, Packard. You know this better than anyone. So if they can convince Greg Monroe to hold off, and if there's a chance that Greg Monroe holding off will help them, I don't see why they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Steve Wolpet has a big write-up today. Wolpet and Adam Himmelsbach both this afternoon publishing pieces on all of the stuff that we're talking about. And I'll read you what Steve Wolpet had to say right after we talk about our friend Jason Manganiello. Look, if you're trying to buy or sell a house, you got to talk to our guy, Jason Manganiello. First of all, let me just get this out of the way. He's a Celtics fan. He's a listener of the show. You got to just help us out and help a brother out, a fellow Celtics, Locked On Celtics listener. If you know a person, or if you are that person trying to buy or sell a house, keep it in the family. This is the dude you need to go to, not just because he's got over 15 years experience, not just because he's part of this residential group, which has been the top selling group in all of Massachusetts at William Ravis since 2009. He's a winner. Also because he donates 10% of his commission to a local nonprofit of your choice when you buy or sell a house with him. So if you know of any nonprofit that you want to be involved, you talk to Jason Manganiello. He will help that charity out. because he wants to help the communities that you're moving to. So if you're thinking of buying or selling a house, reach out to Jason Manganiello. And here's his number, 617-877-5694, 617-877-5694, or email him LockedOnJason@gmail.com. LockedOnJason@gmail.com. And on top of all of that stuff, if you buy or sell a house with him, he's going to send you to a Celtics game on him. He's buying you Celtics tickets. Or even if you refer a friend and they end up working with Jason, he will send you to a Celtics game. Do it now because the season's running out and the good games are starting to fill up. So you want to go.
You realize how crazy that is? You just have to tell a guy about Jason Manganiello and you can go to a Celtics game.
Very simple. You just say, hey, oh, you want to buy a house? I know this guy. LockedOnJason@gmail.com. Boom. Your friend buys or sells a house with Jason. Boom. You're going to a game. And on top of that, that person is helping a community by getting 10% of Jason's commission. So it doesn't matter. Big or small, wherever it is, a little condo in Brighton, a mansion in Weston, whatever it is, reach out to Jason Manganiello. Helps the charity, sending you to a Celtics game. As a Celtics fan, you can, while you're going from house to house, you can talk about whether Marcus Smart is going to get traded. It's perfect. So, again, 617-877-5694, or email him, LockedOnJason@gmail.com. Okay. Steve Volpet says of Greg Monroe, and this seems to be the consensus reporting, that he's all set, he's done, he's scheduled to sign for a $5 million slice of the disabled player exception, but it could be more depending on the trade deadline. With the trade deadline in a couple of days here, and the Celtics may be trying to make a move, that roster spot is valuable because they can then take back two for one. You send out, if you send out Marcus Smart, for example, bring back two players, you can waive one or both of those players. You don't have to sacrifice one of your own guys. But if you sign Monroe now, then all 15 spots are filled. And to take back two, you now have to waive an Abdel Nader, which maybe they don't want to do. So, like Jay said, they're not sweating an early February game in Toronto. They'd rather have this flexibility because this could mean a series win in Cleveland down the road. So that's the situation with Greg Monroe. And one note on Marcus Smart. He did talk to a general manager, an opposing general manager, where they were discussing the Smart talks. And he said, quote, "It's not like they're trying to give him away. They want something back. Smart still has a lot of value for that team." And according to Bullpet sources, they just do not think that Marcus Smart is going to be traded. It's much, much more likely that he's going to stick around. And I think because of the way his value has just plummeted, part of it through his play, part of it through circumstances, part of it through his agent just completely misreading the market, that Smart could be had for somewhere around the mid-level exception, the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is $8.5 million. So I guess the question for the Celtics is, if they're floating this guy out there to see what the value is, and I think part of this is Ainge trying to gauge what his value is on the market before he actually hits the market. If they think he's only going to go for $8.5 million, if you can get Marcus Smart for 3 years, $25 million, that seems like a very reasonable price for Marcus Smart. And you bring him back for a few years, he makes a little bit of money, and that just becomes a guy that might be able to outperform his contract in your prime finals contender years.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I feel like we've talked the Marcus Smart thing to death, though.
Awesome. Then we'll move on.
Oh, sorry.
Packard is done with Marcus Smart talk.
I just didn't have any more takes. I had zero
Packard
to say.
Heard enough.
All right. So then.
Kaizen,
I don't know if
forward.
Jay, unless you wanted to jump in with a hot all Marcus right. Smart take.
There's no more Marcus Smart takes to be.
I was just gonna say that's about what we were saying. We think if they can get something from Marcus Smart, they have to consider it. But otherwise, Marcus Smart is a valuable player.
See
about the right
read on
this.
See what J.J. King just added there? That was like that's exactly what I was Kaizen. Let's not focus on the results. Let's get to the process.
All right.
Kaizen.
As far as the game goes, there is a game to be played against Toronto. Kyrie Irving, Markieff Morris travel with the team. Jay, do you expect these guys to play against the Raptors?
Yes. I actually expect both of them to play. I bet both of them will play. Marcus Morris said the other day, he's like, yeah, you can count me in for Toronto.
Did I say Markieff?
So I'll count him in for Toronto. What?
I keep getting my Morrises mixed up for some reason today. I think I said Markieff.
You got to get your Morris twins right.
Man. Jesus Christ, man.
Kaizen.
Now, you know what? Screw him because he's a Philly fan. But I'm going to call him the wrong name.
I kind of appreciate the fact. Ooh.
I don't know what I did to
Mook. How come we always get blocked on Twitter back?
Not always. It's been one time, and it's been Mook Morris, and it's been for the entire season.
I mean, Millie's blocked you on Twitter as well.
That's a second time that I was unaware of or did not remember. So touche, J. King. Touche.
Who else is blocked? We've got to figure out who else is blocked. I wish there was a way you could figure out who has blocked Sam Packard. There's got to be a way.
I got blocked by James Young and Brandon Jennings.
I wish I got blocked by Brandon Jennings. That guy is a bum.
I got blocked by Avery Bradley.
Oh, that's tough.
I don't know why. I don't know. I never know
that
why.
That is tough. Does Avery Bradley even have Twitter, man?
He had a Twitter. He had a Twitter.
He made one just to block John.
Just to block me, yeah. This was years ago. I was like trying to like, I was putting my Twitter list together of all the players, and I went to click on Avery Bradley's thing. It says, you're not allowed to view. I was like, oh, man. What did I ever say about Avery Bradley?
So I feel about Mook. I feel like I've been pretty pro Mook the entire time. I just mentioned that he doesn't enjoy passing, but that feels like a fact.
I think he believes he enjoys passing.
Well, you know what? I'm going to agree to disagree there.
I think the results say otherwise, but that's all right.
You might get blocked again, man.
Double blocked. Okay.
Unblocked, right, just the block.
But yeah, I think both of them will play, and I'm excited to see full strength Celtics. Reasonably full-strength Celtics against the Raptors. I think the Raptors might be the Cavaliers are such a mess right now that it's possible that the two best teams in the Eastern Conference are playing Tuesday, Toronto and Boston. So yeah. I'm excited for this game. I Corrales is not sold.
No.
I like our dissension on this podcast. We've got a lot of
You got to encourage dissent.
Angry.
That's what Brad tells us.
Silences. Nah, look, Toronto is playing great. They're playing great. They're still nipping at our heels. You know, they're what, a couple of games out now. So, they're playing great. There's still though questions about, you know, how consistent are they going to be? They don't have, I think, the best record against winning teams.
They always play the Celtics well, though. I feel like the Celtics have had a number of losses against them, especially in Toronto over the years.
Yeah,
it feels like DeMar DeRozan is always good for 40 points against the Celtics.
Sure. But they're 16-13 against winning teams, and they're 15-12 on the road. So winning team, they're at home, but so that's a different story. But those two things, they are not really beating a lot of winning teams, and they're not really great on the road. And so, I don't know. I think those two things kind of combine to make me say, I don't know. Plus, I know Cleveland is in complete disarray.
It's funny because.
Go ahead. It's funny because.
It's funny because normally the best indicator of future success is net rating. But with the Raptors, the fact that they're not better against the top teams, it seems to matter more because their biggest issue has never been regular season. Their biggest issue has never been net rating. Their biggest issue has always been they get in the playoffs, they play the top teams, and they haven't been enough. So deciding whether to trust them is a tough deal.
Sure.
And they've tried to change their playing style. They've tried to change a few things, but I think you're right. Like, and I think everyone will be hesitant until they prove otherwise.
Right. I mean, look, they had a nice run last year. That's what you said. It's hard to trust them. And as I was saying, and I don't want to belabor this and make this a Cavaliers podcast, I feel like we're being rope-a-doped a little bit. I know it's worse than before. I know it's not the same thing. Even if they turn it on, they may not reach a level where they can actually, you know, be great. But just it feels like something's too wrong. Like, they went from, like, last year kind of coasting to this year just completely falling apart, and just feels too wrong to me. And I feel like LeBron can turn it on, and all of a sudden a lot of things would be better. I'm just – Cleveland's the type of team where it's like a zombie. Until you put that shot in their head and they're completely gone, like, I don't need it. I don't know. I don't believe it. So I get everything that's happening. I see everything that's happening. I know they're old. They play shitty defense. Their guards are just horrible defensively, and that just might be the death blow for them. But until that death blow happens, I'm not counting the Cavaliers out at all. It's just my take.
I'm with you, too. I'm not counting the Cavaliers out at all. My bigger point was I'm excited for Celtics-Raptors, which is true.
That is true.
Here's what they should do against the Raptors is keep the start Tito movement going. Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford, just start small. I'm all for it.
Ooh.
You got to ride this Tito wave. And Marcus Morris is hurt, and Baines is not giving you great minutes.
Tito telling a fan shut up on Twitter was...
Man. Tito coming back to Twitter has been the greatest thing for Celtics Twitter this entire season. That guy, he's amazing.
Tito straddles the line between endearing and over the top.
No, that's what makes him so endearing, is because you think he straddles the line, but no.
I kind of enjoyed his shut up tweet, but also it was like, it looked like a young tweeter. I don't know how old she was. I don't know what her deal was.
It was a young, like, Muslim girl from Europe. It was a real random person to tell shut up to. It was hilarious. Tito don't care. Tito's going to tweet what's in his heart.
It's funny.
GMB, baby.
GMB. Album comes out 2/22. Check out Gunna Man.
Oh, boy. Let me take this opportunity to congratulate the Philadelphia Eagles on their Super Bowl win.
No need to do that.
And say that there's still a lot of questions about the Patriots and things that happened in the Super Bowl. So I would highly recommend going to listen to Mark Schofield and the Locked On Patriots podcast. He's been doing a great job with Locked On Patriots. And I know that you Patriots fans might be not willing to kind of listen to a podcast right now, but when the dust settles, you want to go back and you want to hear some of the things, like what the hell happened to Malcolm Butler and what's going on with that situation. And of course, there's, you know, a combine and a draft and all of that stuff. It's all being stacked up. That's what happens when you're in the Super Bowl. So if you are a Patriots fan, go and check out Mark Schofield with Locked On Patriots. If you are an Eagles fan, there's a Locked On Eagles podcast. Go celebrate. I'm sure you want to do that. Or there's
you
a
can
Locked On...
go climb a greasy pole, you dirty Eagles fan.
Or if you just happen to be a fan of any other NFL team, Locked On, whatever your favorite team is, there's a podcast for all of you. Go search for them where you found us on the Locked On Podcast Network. Gentlemen, shall we do a boat?
Yeah, we got to say it's the big Australian boat. Aaron Baines' big Australian boat. We just were calling it a boat earlier. I don't know if people were catching on, but this is the big Australian boat.
This is the big Australian boat. This is where we pile people in. We haven't done it in a little while, but we're back. We're going to do it now. We're back on our grind, and it's time to put our favorite players from the past, I guess, week or whenever, on the boat. This is our celebration. This is the reward. You get to go for a ride on Aaron Baines' big Australian boat.
So, he's as big as all of Australia, and so is his boat.
We got to start with Al Mother Bleepin' Horford. Not only did he just shift over to point guard because the Celtics had no ball handlers left, but then he decided to throw in game winner against the Portland Trailblazers after he had previously thrown assists on the two biggest shots of the fourth quarter and then hit another three-pointer right after that to give his team a three-point lead, I believe, which was the team's first lead of the second half. Al Horford has just been a monster with his versatility. That's the only reason, to me, that the Celtics were able to overcome not having Kyrie, not having Marcus Smart, not having Shane Larkin. It wasn't that Terry Rozier was great. It was that Al Horford, his playmaking, his ability to run point guard sometimes, his passing, his everything, helped the Celtics to a huge, huge, huge extent while they were so shorthanded. He is the rider of the Baynes boat. He is the captain of the Baynes boat. He might have this goddamn Baynes boat named after him if he continues playing like this.
The SS eyelashes.
Oh, that was a great line. Maybe the line of the year.
Oh, thanks. You also forgot that he shit on Nurkic's soul with that dunk.
Yeah, I didn't even mention
that. Coast to coast, slow, and then all of a sudden turn it up and just right off of Nurkic's face.
And against the Hawks, he just dominated Ersan Ilyasova for possession after possession and just like completely felt disrespected that Ersan Ilyasova was even trying to guard him. It was great.
I almost felt bad for Ilyasova. Like, it was it was like the Simpsons lines, like, stop, he's already dead. It was bad. Jay did not get that line. But Aaron Baynes,
I got it.
You got it? Sure.
Jay's more aware of things than you think he is. You know, he read all the Harry Potters.
That was a shocking revelation. It was a shocking revelation that Jay is such a big Harry Potter fan. But
yo, Jay, what was your favorite book?
I showed up. I would say the two last ones were like the most adult, but Prisoner of Azkaban was my jam. And then the one where they had the Tournament of Champions or whatever it was called.
Goblet of Fire. Yeah, too. Number four. Classic.
Yeah, that was my shit too.
I have no clue what you guys
I used to go to Barnes and Noble. Is that sometimes two bros will just team up on a subject that the other guy doesn't get what the fuck they're talking about.
There's always something like that. Yep. Yeah, this is mine.
Used to be the oldest dude at Barnes and Noble on the Harry Potter premiere.
I'm sure that like really
it would
made
be like all
good.
all 12 and 13-year-old kids and then grown ass.
And recently,
Jay King. This is like last
recently summer. Someone approached you and said they thought you were a pedophile, so a concerned parent. So maybe it's just a history of you hanging out with younger people.
What?
Whoa,
Jake, explain the story.
What? So the Greg Monroe signing happens while I'm in the car on the way from a meeting with my boss. Naturally, I'm checking Twitter on my phone and I pull over to the side of the road to write about the Greg Monroe signing. And I pull over and like it was a residential neighborhood. It was like a little dead end road. And I'm there for probably like 5 minutes. Some old dude comes out of his house and knocks on my car window and informs me that he's a concerned parent, his words, and he just wanted to know what I was possibly doing parked in front of his house. And I informed him that I was writing about Greg Monroe. I was not a kidnapper. I was not a pedophile. I was not at all interested in his children or anyone else's children. I just wanted to write about Greg Monroe.
That's fantastic.
The trials and tribulations of a sports writer. You know what? Jay King's about that life, and he'll go through that for you guys.
Jay King pulling over to the side of the road because he saw news and he has to write about it, bring you the news, and he gets shit from a concerned parent. Now, guess that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That neighborhood watch was great. It's
admirable of me. But it was during the school day. Well, If I was a pedophile, what would I be doing at his house during the school day? Like, come on, man. Chill out. Chill out a little bit. I'm just writing about Greg Monroe.
How about our next boat participant? Terry Rozier.
Tito!
Terry Rozier. Yeah. He's the guy.
Triple-double, 31 points. Did stuff the other night. Hit a shot. Telling people to shut up on Twitter. I don't see how else he could not be on the boat.
No, he's definitely
on the boat. It's been Tito week. Yeah. It's been Tito month. It's been the month of Tito.
It's definitely
been. February is Tito month. It's my birthday month as well, so I feel like it fits.
Oh. All right. We're celebrating this month.
By the way, do we think there was a Tito chant at the Garden the other night?
I looked at you, and I thought there was a Tito chant, and then whoever was sitting next to you told me it was a Geno chant, and I just said, that makes a little bit more sense. But I also thought it was
Tito. Forsberg wasn't sure it was a Geno chant. It sounded like Tito. It definitely sounded like Tito. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a Tito chant. And if there was a Tito chant at the Garden, that was a glorious thing.
That
it needs
would
be louder
awesome.
Next time.
Yeah, we need more. We need more. I'm at a point now where I'm saying Tito just despite the people that say don't call him Tito on Twitter. I get every time.
So mad online.
They are so mad. Like, and you just got to understand, that just makes me want to call him Tito even more. Like, I know he was on Whose Podcast or something.
Mixtape.
Yeah, he was on the mixtape. And he said, Tito's not my name. Don't call me Tito. Okay, fine. I get it. We're just having fun with it. And the fact that it would have died, it probably would have died if Danny Ainge's son didn't come out and say, oh, you might have misheard something. It's not Tito, it's Tiro. Like, no, motherfucker, now it's Tito. It's definitely Tito now. Like, Jay King was nowhere near on board with Tito. And now all of a sudden he is totally on the Tito bandwagon. So
we got chance now, though.
now it's just taking on a life of its own. And every time somebody says, oh, you know, you shouldn't call him Tito. That's not his nickname. Like, yeah, it is. It is now. It is for me. And just takes on a life of its own. Like, the more you say don't do it, the more it's going to happen. So that's the mistake that people make.
I was there in the locker room when Tito gave his blessing on Tito to Packer. Yeah. I was there. I saw him give his blessing.
So there you go.
I think Tito's just super agreeable, and because he's a cool dude, he's just like, yeah, I guess you don't like if someone says Tiro's a better name, he'll be like, yeah. Really, he wants to be called Chum on GMB for life. Album drops 222. Check out Gunna Man. Actually, go read Adam Himmelsbach's story on Tito and him growing up. It was and like his relationship with his father. That was actually a very cool story that I read today. Free plug for Adam Himmelsbach. Hates podcasts. Maybe he'll like them now.
I'm gonna put Jaylen Brown on the boat because I think Jaylen Brown has been very good lately. He's changed, I think, changed the tempo of games, changed the energy of games just by his aggressive play. And he is starting to show elements of a more mature game, an expanded game, a better game. I'm starting to see things that I've never seen before. We talked about it, Sam, but in the Portland game where he came around, he was around a pick in the middle of the lane, turned, curled up to the top of the three-point line, catched it, square, turned and squared and shot and just buried it. That's a very difficult shot to come around that way, to turn and square yourself, stop and not fade off to the right. He just stopped on a dime, rose up, and buried that shot. For a guy that's supposed to not be able to shoot, that was an awesome play. It was an extremely difficult play that he made look very easy. But he's doing a lot of that stuff. He's hitting clutch shots. He hit that shot a few games ago where Kyrie at the end was like, yeah, he better take that shot. That's the shot we want him to take. So his game has just been advancing at a pace that I don't know that anybody saw coming, but I just love what I'm seeing from him lately.
Jay, that was you.
Man. These tripods. We're still working out the kinks.
No, my Skype just cut out. So okay, I couldn't hear anything for like 10 seconds.
All right.
So I don't know what just happened, but I'll come with the next guy. I'll come with the next guy anyway. And my next guy is Jason Tatum.
Yeah, he's been
my next guy is Jason Tatum. He had a career high 27 points, like super quiet 27 points. But there was one defensive possession in that Hawks game that was like, that was just shouted baseball. It just shouted baseball. So he fought around a screen. First of all, he denied Dennis Schroeder, who's one of the fastest point guards in the league. He denied Dennis Schroeder around a screen. Schroeder ended up catching the ball anyway around the screen. Tatum stayed with him, reached in while keeping position somehow, just took the ball away and went in for an and one the other way. And if you watch that play, like, go back, watch it. It's on the Celtic Instagram. It's on YouTube. It's wherever else. It's one of the more impressive defensive plays I think a Celtics player has made this season. And maybe not like the best defensive play, but considering he's 19, considering he's a 6'8" forward, considering how electrically fast Dennis Schroeder can be, to force him into such a tough catch and then to just abuse him once he caught the ball was so impressive. And so it's not just the points. It's the fact that Tatum continues to do it two ways, and he's taking more shots with everybody shorthanded, and he's still just kind of killing people. And that rookie wall was very short-lived. So Jason Tatum, he might just live on the Baynes boat for
he's
going to
grow
like
up
15
there.
Years.
Yeah, he's never going to leave. Even when he's bad, he's good.
He's just going to like just ride across the waters on the Baynes boat for the next 15 years. He's going to have a savage tan though on that Baynes boat, I'll tell you that.
Sam, you have any other entries?
Tice. Yeah. Got to throw Tice on there. I feel like Tice is really like the thing is, I just don't know how long it's been since we've done a Baynes boat, and I feel like Tice had a pretty good West Coast trip. I feel like he proved himself just making threes out of nowhere. We knew he could do it from the preseason. We always knew he had it in him. I just think he provides like a nice – he's like the perfect energy guy off the bench and someone where you can still play at the five, but he can – just the fact that he can shoot and make threes makes their offense so much more dynamic and like being able to play five out. So Tice off the bench, lots of energy. God be on the boat.
I'm all for it.
Tice God. The Tice God.
I think I'm not really seeing anybody else that's necessarily boat worthy. Some nice performances, but I don't
honorable
know.
Mention
Nader.
To Gershon.
I think. Oh, I, we see, should I, give mention to Gershon. We should give mention to Yabu. Just for dab. I think Abdul Nader deserves it.
See, I was on the fence with Nader. He's done some nice things and, you know, pressed into service. I didn't know if it was boat worthy, but I guess for him, sure. Okay, fine.
No, we can't do this. I'm the biggest pro Abdel Nader guy there is, but the boat has standards. And Abdel Nader, what, scores 7 points in their game? He's been all right, but he's not a boat level player right now.
I'll tell you this. Earlier in the season, if Abdel Nader had played 25 plus minutes in two straight games, the Celtics would have been screwed. And you know what? He's played a ton of minutes the last three games.
This is the boat, and Jay. This is the boat.
In the third game, they were struggling like hell. He and Yabu helped bring them back. Yabu was legit in his brief time, and his dad was brilliant. But Nader, for the last three games, has been pretty decent. And given the circumstances, given what the Celtics have needed from him, that's boatworthy. And I understand the boat has high standards. I think, given the circumstances, given what Nader was pressed into, I think he's worthy.
Well, this is, let's put Kadeem Allen on the boat. Let's put Jarrell Eddy on the boat. I mean, come on.
Whoa.
I'm a pro Nader guy. I appreciate his contribution. Does he deserve it more than Gershon Yabusele? We just said Gershon's an honorable mention.
Brad Stevens almost deserves to be on the boat for giving Kadeem Allen a 21-second first quarter stint the other day. And that was the only time he played the whole game. amazing.
Ready. Gotta stay ready.
Gotta stay ready. Marcus Smart was cracking up on the bench when he came back.
I'm officially out on Nader on the boat, but you guys can outvote me.
Yeah,
it's a democracy here.
You know, I figure, yeah, fuck it, he's on.
I mean, he wasn't great. He wasn't going to be a star. Abdul Nader wasn't going to be a star.
I was on the fence. I was going to bring up Nader as you guys were talking. I was looking at those box scores, and I thought, you know, he did have a big impact. And look, again, asked to play more than 25 minutes, play like 20 plus minutes in all, well, not against Portland, but he played 20 minutes against Portland, played almost 30 against the Knicks. We're rewarding him
playing in garbage time. Played in garbage time against the Knicks.
This
is the boat, people. He just had to play. Someone had to play.
Pressed into service. I can see the argument.
Look, it's a shitty argument. The boat is for good players. Great players, even.
The boat is for players who earned it. And you know what? Nader, yes, he was forced into minutes. Yes, the Celtics would have preferred to give those minutes to other players. But they gave them to Nader, and they had two comfortable wins. And then he helped charge. He helped keep the Celtics alive in the first half of the Blazers game, and they came back to win the game.
Yeah, why isn't Semi on the boat? If we're just going to get anyone who played in the games, does Semi deserve to be on the boat? He had some nice plays. He finally made some threes.
I mean, he was like, what, one for his first six? Come on, bro.
He's a way better defender than Nader. He played in crunch time.
These are facts. These are hashtag facts.
I'm saying I appreciate all their contributions. This is the goddamn boat we're talking about. You can't anyone on. Just because he surprised you because he wasn't bad.
Let's compromise. Let's make him wear a life preserver.
That's fine.
he's on the boat, but he's got to like serve drinks.
Yeah, he can't drink. He's designated driver of the boat.
Right.
No, he's just got to wear a life preserver so that everyone knows.
He's that. Less than.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, perfect.
Maybe good compromise. He's in the dinghy that's like off to the side, like trailing the boat.
As long as there's some sort of status symbol that shows that he's less than, I feel like I can compromise there.
Right. I feel like we've reached a good place. I think this is a good compromise.
Kai fucking Zen.
It's a good place to end this show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Again, if you are not a subscriber, please subscribe wherever you found our podcast. Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, whatever, Spotify. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave a good review, and share the podcast. And also, remember to, if you're looking to buy or sell a house, if you're thinking about it, if you just want some literature, if you want a market analysis, anything that gets you through the entire process of buying or selling a home, it's a very long, difficult process. I've been through it. Trust me, you cannot do it by yourself. Jason Manganiello is there to help you out. 617-877-5694. 617-877-5694. LockedOnJason@gmail.com. He will help you. He will donate 10% of his commission to a local charity designated by you, the client, and he will send you or the person who referred you to a Celtics game. That's it. Next show after the Raptors game, it'll be me and Jam. We'll see you then. Here on the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.